We present A Play from Wales.
But don't let's kid ourselves. I say don't for a single moment let's kid ourselves as to exactly what the esteemed councillor is fishing for.
Mr. Chairman, I do not intend to stand in this chamber and be insulted by Councillor Treherne or anybody else.
Feet must end back.
I say we know what he's fishing for. And why? Why do we know? Because he's dangled the same blinking bait before. But for once, I say, we refuse to bite. All very well, isn't it? All very well. A fair assessment of the situation, he calls it. He has the nerve to call it. Estimates, he calls it. Aesop's fables, more like. A trip to fairyland, more like.
I demand that remark be struck from the record.
Cordy in Cordland, more like. Except... that not even a 5-year-old would give it the time of day.
Mr. Chairman, I really must...
Of course you must. Because for once, Mr. Councillor Mostyn Roberts, this chamber sees through you, sees exactly what you're up to, sees that it is simply another attempt to hoodwink this council in general and the Finance Committee in particular. An attempt to instigate the acceptance of a motion which can be guaranteed to rook the majority, hoodwink the minority, and line the pockets of Mr. Bloody Mostyn Roberts in particular.
Retract! I demand that you retract!
Here, boys. If you may...
Meredith Edwards and William Ingram in Stranger at the Gate by William Ingram.
Blast them! Damn man, blast them!
Were you knocking, Father?
Knocking? Oh, no, not me. Must have been the woodworm out in the field.
Oh, sorry. I must have been out the back.
What doing?
Oh, just a breath of air. Now, ease up and I'll do your pillows.
Breath of cotton wool in your ears, more like. Or maybe just a case of let the bedridden old devil wait, eh?
What did you want, then?
For you to turn that damn noise off. That's what I wanted.
Oh, but it isn't a wireless, Father. Evening service from Bethesda Chapel. Well, we hoped you might hear. Cass just happened to mention to the Reverend it always being one of your favourites, so he goes and puts it in special.
A sort of grand finale.
Well, we both thought he was very thoughtful of him.
Close the window, girl, for goodness sake. Jesus bids us shine.
But you always used to like it. I remember you saying to our man...
So let's just say there's been a bit of change in the weather forecast, shall we?
Oh, you've hardly touched your tray.
No. Of course, it'd be just like the Reverend to come up with a half-baked idea like that.
I don't...
Oh, with you and Sister Cassie doing your fair share of encouraging, I've no doubt. The Reverend. You can forgive him for being parsimonious, all part of his job. But the man's a parasite and an idiot.
10 years in the mission field, Father?
The cannibals couldn't stomach him, so they pass him on to us.
10 years?
And couldn't even make the grade as a pot boiler.
Aren't you going to look at your get well cards?
Read one, you read them all. Bad poetry and false sentiments. Wonder is nobody's got round to printing a die quick card. They'd make a fortune.
There was a lovely bunch of gladioli from Councillor and Mrs. Lewis.
Probably the nearest they could get to arum lilies.
Oh, Dada, I don't know how you can lie there and say such things.
Because they happen to be true, that's why. Get well cards, gladioli. You think I don't know what they're really wishing? If wishes were deeds, you'd already be passing the wreaths out of the window.
Well, if there's nothing else you want.
Sarah, he hasn't come yet.
No, not yet. But there's another train at 8. Cass was thinking...
Well, when he gets here, no keeping him down there naturally till all hours. Send him straight up, do you hear?
Yes, Father.
Wait a minute, girl. Well, girl.
No, only the doctor. Cass is sending him up. Good evening, Doctor.
Sarah, my dear. Still playing the lady with a lamp, I see.
Oh, just collecting the tea tray, Doctor.
Must in, you old villain. And how are we feeling this evening?
There was a taxi a bit back.
Who?
Thought it might have been him. Looked a bit like him, but there was a woman as well.
He might have got married.
Not likely.
But he might.
Not likely.
Oh, he hardly touched his tea.
Probably too busy scheming.
I suppose all those pills and medicine affect his appetite.
Was he asking again?
What?
Was he?
Oh, yes.
And what did he say?
Just asking.
Can't think why you bothered traipsing up to the old stick.
I told Dada there was another train at 8.
And if he's got a hip of the decency, he won't be on it.
But... Well? Would you're just thinking. I mean, would Dada... Well, the way things are...
The way things are have got nothing to do with it, you hear? Nothing.
No, Cass.
Oh, yes, Cass. No, Cass. God, you're as damn soft as what that old stick is.
I only meant...
Oh, I know what you meant, all right. If you had your way, you'd be tearing around this very minute. Cakes in the oven and a bunch of forget-me-nots in his room. It's still your very own little room, Justin Bach, just like you left it. All right. But he left it. That's the point.
Oh, it was so long.
The point, Sarah. So if he thinks rolling up with his tail between his legs is going to get him back his warm corner in this kennel, he's got another thing coming.
This tea is still warm. Would you like a cup?
Oh, listen while I'm talking to you. Oh, dear, dear. Now, look, Sarah. You don't seem to realize what's behind it all, do you? Maybe you think it's some little game the old stick's playing. Happy families, is it? With a big dollop of the old forgive and forget thrown in. Enemies in life, but reunited at the last. Well, if you think it's as simple as that, you've got another thing coming. Because it doesn't fool me, my girl. And if you get any sense, you won't let it fool you neither.
Was that a car?
And if you'd use your head, none of this need ever have happened. God knows how he got hold of his address in the first place. But you should never have let the doctor talk you into sending that telegram.
But with you not being here, and I knowing it was what Dada wanted, and the doctor saying it can only be a matter of time now...
The doctor's an outsider! What would he know about it, huh? Cures for some things, I dare say. But there's no answer to our problems in that little black bug.
Perhaps the telegram never got there.
Lost in the post?
Or he might decide not to come. I mean, the way things were between Yestin and Dada when he left...
He didn't leave, damn you! He was thrown out, Sarah! Dada threw him out.
So, maybe I did. Maybe I did. What does it read? What does it read?
Wouldn't mean anything to you if I told you. Now then, make a fist. That's it. Cry, baby. Right. You can roll your sleeve down now. So, you need him back.
I don't need anybody.
All right. A change of heart, though.
You could say that.
Why?
What are you blathering about?
Why? That's what worries me.
Worries?
Well, the intrigues, then. The why, the reason, the motive. For the best part of 20 years, you haven't so much as mentioned the boy.
18.
Wouldn't have his name mentioned under the same roof. Didn't even get round to telling him the time and place of his own mother's funeral.
It's none of your damn business. You're supposed to be a doctor, remember, not a father confessor. It's just the way things were.
Oh, you don't have to tell me how things were. But now, suddenly, I know, a change of heart.
So? Well, what would be more natural?
Oh, it's natural, all right. Only unnatural thing is that you didn't get round to patching things up years ago.
Then why are you going on?
Because, to put it quite bluntly, I've never known you capable of a 100% completely natural act in the whole of your life. It implies a certain disregard for the consequences, an area in which I've always found you somewhat lacking. You see, I've known you too long, Mostyn. Known you since you had no backside to your trousers and hauled coal rams up Valdre for a bob a week.
We've come a long way.
A very long way.
I dare say there are some who would reckon a damn sight too far.
Oh, I dare say. Councillor Mostyn Roberts, the self-made man, more of the good things in life than he knows what to do with, a bank account that'll leave most of the others standing, a business that can only make things go from better to best, the living proof that anybody can go anywhere, that a nobody can become number one.
Oh, no, not anybody.
Magnate, magistrate, man of the people, 15 years sterling service as councillor for his ward.
16.
9 of them as chairman of the chamber.
10.
OBE, MBE, not to mention his civil defence medal, second class.
There's been some talk of a knighthood.
I bet there has.
A long way. And maybe even further.
Oh?
Oh, maybe not much further in the practical sense. You wouldn't be making with a bedside manner and sticking blunt needles in my arm 4 times a day if there were much chance of that. But there are other ways, aren't there? Of being remembered, I mean.
The deeds men leave behind them?
Something like that. There'll be the new wing on your blinking cottage hospital for a kick-off.
A boon and a blessing to generations yet unborn.
And so it ruddy well should be. If they were making the cement with gold dust, it couldn't get much steeper.
A drop in the ocean and worth every penny. Besides, think of all the nice things the bigwigs are going to say about you on dedication day. The Mostyn Roberts orthopedic wing and civic gratitude knowing no bounds. They'll probably chuck in a couple of bonuses.
Oh?
Why not? Maybe a nameplate on one of those skyscraper blocks on Windy Heights? Or how about an avenue of elms in Cedar Park? I can just see all those precious little poodles spending their pennies and woofing, God bless the governor. Try and get some sleep. I'll look back a bit later. Just popping off to grind down a few more needles. Don't bother the girls. I'll find my own way out.
The deeds men leave behind.
Right, haven't I? Yestin? Yestin Roberts?
Yes.
Thought it must be. Obvious, my dear Watson. In the first place, your sisters reckon you'd be coming on this one. In the second, you're the only one to get off it. And in the third, when you've slapped someone on the backside and brought him howling into the world, it leaves a lasting impression.
Dr. Marsh.
Well, don't just stand there. Catching our deaths, hop in.
Nothing's happened. I mean, I'm not...
No. Nothing's happened. Blast. Keep meaning to clean the plugs, but I never get round to it. That's my girl. She'll warm up in a minute.
I'm fine. It was good of you to meet me.
Wasn't it, though? Just on the off chance. Usually pop in to see him before they get him bedded down for the night, so I thought I'd stop off and see if you put in an appearance. Besides, it's the very devil getting a hire car on a Sunday. All too busy. Either bastioned at Bethesda, making peace with their maker, or downing pints at the rugby club. Get over, you idiot! But as I say, it was strictly on the off chance. We didn't get a telegram with a time of arrival or anything, so we didn't exactly know when you'd be showing up.
Or if I'd be showing up.
It had crossed my mind.
But not father's.
Not so as you'd notice.
That's typical, isn't it?
What?
Absolutely ruddy typical, isn't it, though? All these years without so much as a postcard, yet he thinks when it suits him, all he's got to do is snap his fingers, and Boyo comes running.
Why did you?
What?
Come running.
Good question. I wasn't going to. I swore I wasn't going to. When I got your telegram, the first thing I did was tear it into 100 pieces and pretend it had never happened. Then I spent the best part of an hour jigsawing it together and trying to read between the lines. You'd be surprised how difficult it is to arrive at a true picture. Seriously ill. But how bad is serious?
Pretty serious.
Or just another of his tricks to get me back, right back under his thumb again.
Now, there's no trick.
No, I didn't really believe there was somehow. So, how long do you think?
Not much longer.
Does he know?
Oh, I've always maintained that in the final stages, the patient usually has a much better idea than the doctor. But you still haven't answered my question. Why did you come?
Heaven only knows. I still can't really believe I have. As far as I was concerned, I thought that particular return ticket had expired a long time ago. Well, not because I give a damn whether he pulls through or not, that's for sure.
I've already told you there's no question of that.
Well, how could I? I don't think I ever really loved him. Not in the real sense. Did any of us? My mother, perhaps, in the very early days. But we watched that die.
You must once have cared.
Cared? A kind of caring, perhaps. But caring can become just some kind of habit, can't it? Pretty meaningless compared to the real thing. In any case, he didn't manage to stifle that by the time we got to the final breakup.
You're still here, so what is there left?
I'm not sure. Curiosity, I suppose. Curiosity and a kind of disbelief. Daft, I know, but the kind of thing one of these white hunters must feel when he lines up some giant thundering bull jumbo in his sights and then pulls the trigger. Watching it fall, seeing all that mass and power and energy, all that threat, become as helpless and threatless as a newborn babe. Oh, yes. Curiosity, certainly. Or I could just be looking for the conventional ending, of course. Couldn't it turn out to be something as corny as that? The full East of Eden, you know that scene right at the end? Beloved kith and kin gathered round the deathbed, confessions and prayers and forgiveness at the last. Well, why not? Couldn't it turn out to be something as corny and simple as that? Why not?
Why not?
Except that deep down inside, I know it's none of these things. Some kind of test, I suppose.
Doctor? Doctor? Is that you?
Yes.
Oh, thank God. Come quickly, will you? Please, come quickly.
Some kind of test.
No. No change, I'm afraid. Yes, he's still within. Of course, the very minute. No, no, I won't forget. Goodbye, then. Oh, and then thank you for calling. Oh, must be the 10th this morning.
Hmm?
Did they wake you?
No, not really. I'm just dozing a bit.
Counselor and Mrs. Treherne.
Ah.
Cass says we ought to take the thing off the hook. But it seems a bit heartless when people are being so kind. Oh, I nearly forgot. They sent their regards.
The Treherne's?
Yes. Why not?
Well, it's a bit of a turn-up, isn't it? I shouldn't have thought they'd remember me, let alone know I was here.
My, you have been away a long time. Well, you know how things are. You've only got to step off the train and the jungle drums start beating. In your case, you were probably a marked man before you even got over the border.
Yes, I probably was.
Well, only the same as with any other stranger. They mean no harm. Just the old curiosity, I suppose. They haven't enough to fill their own lives with.
So they have a very bad habit of spilling over into other people's.
Oh, sorry. I didn't mean to go on. Be spouting from Bethesda pulpit next. Just having someone to talk to again, I suppose.
You've always had Cass.
Oh, yes, I've always had Cass. Oh, that coffee must be cold. Let me hot you up. There. Are you warm enough?
Stop cosseting.
Not in a draft, are you?
No, don't close the door. If they call down, we may not hear.
Oh, I suppose you're right, yes. But it's funny not to hear that old stick of his.
hammering away up there, all hours of the day and night.
Stick?
His way of letting us know he was needing something, you see. Bang, 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 bang. And any minute expecting to have him down on top of us, four-poster and all. All hours.
It's no wonder you both look so done in. Now, why on earth didn't you have that nurse from the word go?
Oh, easily said, my boy. We tried, of course. Might as well have saved our breath for the amount of good it did. Strangers, you see. Didn't want them about the place. Rummaging through the drawers and breathing his air and pinching his small change off the bedside table. But then, you know what the old mule can be like when he sticks his heels in about something?
Yes.
She went on about you, Yestin, right to the end.
My mum?
Dada wouldn't let her so much as mention your name. But she went on about you all the same. We thought you'd write. Well, Mam and I did anyway. Used to take it in turns to get up early and go through the post before the others came down. We did it for a long time. Then we stopped.
What good could it have done? Well, the way things were between...
Exactly. What good could it have done? Sleeping dogs lie and count your blessings. Cass always said that. Cass always said.
Well?
Well, indeed, yes. What good. And time passes. And eventually, well, it all gets to seeming unimportant. To you, too.
To you?
Something to be viewed calmly, to talk about, like we're talking about it now. So it all really happened to somebody else. And sometimes I can nearly fool myself that it did. But then there are others, particularly when I'm sitting down here alone at night, listening to the tick of that old clock, when I've got to face up to the fact that it wasn't somebody else at all. It was to you, Sarah Roberts. The choice was yours, and you made it. And now you must pay the price for every day of your life. You must pay.
The price?
This. All of this. Like a bad habit you couldn't break yourself of. You know, I never forget the day when you left. Escape, you called it. But I couldn't honestly understand what it was you thought you was escaping from. Well, not this, surely. A good home. A respectable home. It wasn't until much later I understood the narrowness of it all. I even tried to do something about it.
Huh?
I answered an advertisement in the Gazette. Oh, pathetic, isn't it?
Is it?
I can't really remember what it was for now. The only important thing at the time was that it would take me away from home. Bookkeeping or maybe a ledger clerk of some kind, I suppose. I know you had to apply in your best copper plate. And I've always been pretty good at that.
What happened, Sarah?
I had my hand on the front door when Cass called out from the back. Wash day of all things. And would I give a hand with a mangle? And without even thinking about it, I put the case down and went. Just happened, you see. And she never even asked why I was got up like a dog's dinner. Well, and there was no point trying to explain, because she already knew, had known all along. And when we'd finished, the case was back in its old place on top of the wardrobe, and the birthday cards and the ribbons and the photographs all put neatly back in their drawers. It was never mentioned again. Hardly even thought about.
Till now? Quite a little coincidence, don't you think?
Cass, well, how long have you...
Long enough. More than enough.
Well, don't look so sheepish, Yestinbach.
You ought to be congratulating yourself. Not 24 hours back in the hive when you've got the old bees buzzing already.
Cass.
Oh, yes. Quite the little rebel, Rosa. The old order changeth, giving place to new. Is that it? Up with the barricades, is it? But you might have picked on somebody your own size, or are conscripts coming smaller this year?
Look, I don't know what you're talking about.
You know damn well what. And don't think you can fool me with that, and butter wouldn't melt in my mouth. Look, this is what you've been working for ever since you left and slammed that front door behind you.
What have I been working for, Cass?
Hedging the bets, don't they call it? Playing it both ways.
You know very well Daddy isn't going to let you come into anything on your own account, so you reckon you can cut your losses by getting round our Sarah.
Cass.
Not while I'm around to stop you, you won't.
Oh, I don't know how.
No, you don't. Because as far as Jestinbach is concerned, you've never been able to see further than your nose. Why do you think your blue-eyed boy left in the first place, Sarah? Out of consideration for us?
Jestin had his own life to lead.
Oh, yeah, he had that. And he grabbed the chance with both hands, knowing damned well that we'd always be stuck keeping the home fires burning. But what about our lives? Do you think there's ever been a single moment in all these years, Sarah, when he stopped to give a thought to that?
He gave me no choice, Cass.
Oh, none. You may good and sure of that. No choice. Because you deliberately drove him to the point where he had none. But walking out didn't do anything for us, did it, Justin? You know, I used to spend hours picturing you tucked away in some little bedsitter somewhere. Like here, was it? Keep out sign on the door, and our mum forever whispering, don't knock, he might be working. Perhaps it's her I should blame. One little scholarship, local boy makes good, and nothing's too good for our guest. She never saw till it was too late what a stranger it was turning you into.
I had no quarrel with Mum.
Didn't stop you leaving.
There was no love lost between us.
Oh, that's big of you. And why should there have been? She treated you like a prize bull in a cow pen. The love, it poured out of her. Even when she was doing something as daft and ordinary as ironing your shirt tails. No, boyo, you weren't easy to replace. Not even he could manage it completely. Whatever he tried to make you think. That room of yours, have you been in it since you got back?
No.
Well, it's just the same as on the day you left. But not our mam's orders. His. I have to laugh every time I dust the place. I have to. Regular little museum piece. Even to the guided tour, if you could ever find anybody interested enough.
Go on.
Ah, he's up there by the hour. Learn to handle those books as though he really knows what's between the covers. He might even swat up the odd title to impress the boys at the next Rotary meeting.
Dad can look after himself.
All right! Maybe he can and maybe he can't, but there were others. What about Sarah, yeah?
Cass.
What did you do to her? And what are you still doing,
Cass?
Poor, simple-minded Sarah. After all these years, she's still going on about being thwarted. And from what? That's what I'd like to know, Justin. I'd really like to. At least when you left, you had yourself to fall back on. Something that people could recognize as you. And even if they didn't or wouldn't, you could always climb back on your pedestal and pretend you were above it all. But what about her?
No, Cass.
All right. Go on, answer. Answer for yourself on your own two feet.
Please.
But it's what we've been going on about, isn't it? If I hadn't called you back that day, if you had left as you planned, do you honestly think you'd have lasted 5 minutes?
I don't know.
No, yes. No. You don't, but I do. Because I've had to know, Sarah, for both of us, for the past 20 years. I know what you're capable of and what you're not. I know the difference between you against yourself and you against the world.
And you, Cass? We seem to have covered everybody but you.
I know what I know. One thing. I know him up there better than our mum and better than any of you. I accept him for what he is, for where he's come from and where he's got to. And maybe I've even got an inkling about what it's cost him to get there.
You know?
Yes. And it doesn't make me feel angry or cheated or better or worse. Just that bit wiser. Older and wiser.
I'm sorry.
Oh, yes, Doctor.
He's asking for you.
Oh, yes, of course, sir.
No, Jestin. He particularly said just Jestin.
Father?
Mm. Oh, you. So you finally decided to get here, did you?
Last night. I looked in from time to time, but Well, anyway, how are you feeling now?
Feeling. How the devil do you think I'm feeling? Get out, woman. Damn you, get out. Dig your starch where it's appreciated.
Thank you, nurse. Yes, then, not too long. I'll be just outside.
Well, what was all that about?
All what?
The rumpus, boy. All that rumpus from downstairs just now. You needn't look so sheepish. I'm a bit past giving you six on the backside.
Glad to hear it.
Not that it would take much to guess. Our caste at it again, I suppose. A premature division of the spoils, is that it? Serving the fatted calf to you may be one thing, but topping the goose that lays the golden egg, out of the question. Are you ever going to sit down? Or is it all set for the quick getaway?
I'm in no hurry.
It wasn't you I was thinking of. Not so far away, boy. In the light. But I can see you. You thinner.
No fatter.
Always was like a rake. Always. Bean sticks in trousers. No spunk. Even now Cass could give you better than she got. Even now Cass.
Just built that way.
Used to tell her that.
Ma'am?
Just the way he's built, I used to tell her. Fat lot of good. Wouldn't take my word. Doctors, specialists, quacks. Nothing would do, nothing. Still, you've seen us out, all right. You've seen us out. You got rid of that ridiculous beard, then? That beard.
I've got rid of a lot of things.
Everything except the chip, eh? Oh, you don't have to answer that one. Can tell it from here, just by looking at you. Just from the way you perched yourself on the edge of that chair. Tetchy as some old ram tethered to its thicket. Still carrying his blessed cross to Calvary, except that the cross is proving a bit heavier, the gradient a bit steeper than anything he ever imagined.
Now, look, I...
Oh, I know. I know. One word more, is it? One word more, and I'll be the other side of that door so fast the old devil won't even be able to manage a dying curse. I know.
You shouldn't talk like that.
And you shouldn't be so tetchy. It's an old man's prerogative. You'll come to it soon enough. But it's not turning out as bad as you thought, is it? Not now you're here. Not now it's happening.
I...
Me being vulnerable. That's what you was most afraid of. Especially after last night. It's still there in your eye. The last feeble curses of the dying tyrant. That's what you expected. And you'd have had no answer to that. Just a vague feeling of something between pity and disgust. Oh, you needn't bother to lie. If I'd been in your boots, it's what I would have expected. Matter of fact, after last night's little do, I'm even surprising myself. It's the mind, I suppose. All in the mind. Or maybe just the old habit. Well, when you've been on top all your life, the fact that you're about to peg it shouldn't make no difference, should it?
No difference.
And that's why you can sit there and take it, you see. You can take it. Because I can take it. Because...
Oh, easy now. Easy. Here. Go on. Drink.
All right. I'm all right.
Look, don't you think you ought to rest a bit?
And have you wasting the train fare? That would never do. Besides, God knows it's been hard enough keeping tracks of you all these years.
How did you?
You had to eat. Even a bloody martyr has to eat. From the things you said before you slammed out, I reckoned you'd had enough of the so-called business world for the time being. The only other thing you could fall back on was that fiddling teacher's diploma. God knows you threatened us with it enough. From then on, it was simple.
I had thought about going abroad.
Rangoon or Reading, eh? Still, knowing you, I'd have been a fool not to kick off with Reading.
I suppose so.
Married 18 months after you left. Son the following year. Russell Anthony. It would have been nice if you'd named him after me.
You really did your homework.
Just bloody-mindedness, of course. But I'd like to have seen him. Was thinking about it. If you'd got the custody when she walked
Nobody out... Nobody walked out.
Might even have got round to seeing him all right. But why pass it on to a load of strangers?
Why, indeed?
Why didn't it work out?
Mind your own damn business. If you had the time and I had the inclination, I'd be happy to let you into the grisly details. Maybe I was too young. Maybe it was a mistake to leave one bear garden only to set up another.
Then why did you go?
There was a fat lot of choice, wasn't there?
It takes two.
To make a quarrel. So that's the current get-out, is it? Beautiful. I must get it embroidered for you for Christmas and we can hang it above the bed along with God is love and repent for the kingdom.
I doubt if I'd be around to appreciate
it. And you can cut out the sob sister routine too, because I don't give a cuss whether you're around or not. You hear? I gave up feeling anything as positive years ago.
I see.
All right. I'm sorry, damn you. I'm sorry. Can I open the window? It's as hot as hell in here.
But you still haven't answered my question.
Why? You've got to be joking.
Oh, not the obvious reasons. The not getting on, the quarrels, the fights, the threats. Because in a way, they're only what old Marsh would call the symptoms, aren't they? It's the cause. The thing inside you I've never been able to understand. Even when I tried. And you needn't smile because I did. Believe it or not, at first I did.
Ah, yes. At first. In the beginning. Probably the most beguiling words in the language. Beguiling, full of promise, and as doom-ridden as old boots. Because the simple fact of the matter is simply wanting things to work out, even making allowances, wanting to get on with people, isn't always enough, is it? Oh, you weren't the only one. I found that out since with... Well, let's just say I found it out.
The grisly details.
Exactly.
So what are you left with now?
Don't ask me. I'm still trying to find out.
But all those years you must have been looking in a particular direction.
Not that particular, and more groping than looking.
I'd still like to know.
Just what I am. Myself, I suppose. It's all really there from the start. At the start. In the beginning, as you say. The hard bit is getting it back. Getting it uncluttered, out in the open again.
Too damned airy-fairy to my way of thinking. Maybe that's why I never cottoned on to you.
The generation gap.
Nothing is fancy. Let's just say I've always been too damn busy trying to fill my stomach to wonder where the crust came from, or whether I was entitled to it, or if there was a more deserving cause. Oh, I know. Pathetic, isn't it? Get it down, you boy, before somebody bigger and stronger comes and takes it away. Pathetic. There were reasons. My father and both my brothers had died of the dust by the time I was 14. Cement spitters, they used to call them. Comic, isn't it? Comic. But I still can't put a coal on the fire without thinking how bloody unnecessary it was. There were two sisters, too. Both died in childhood before they were old enough to get their bonnets through the door. My mother bled to death over the last one. Maybe just to keep her company. Or maybe because we couldn't afford the doctor's fees. And they weren't even giving hemorrhages on tick.
I'm sorry.
But why should you be? Anyway, if it hadn't been for your great-gran. She had a weal across her forehead an inch wide and nearly as deep. From carrying the coal, Hodge, do you see? No cages, no day. Just a rope ladder. Straight down the shaft. And this coal basket strapped by a leather thong across the forehead. 40 to 50 trips a shift they made, more if they could. Because the more climbs they got through, the more chance of keeping their babies' bellies full. Oh, they really tried. Some tried so hard they overloaded the hod. And then forgot all about holding on. It used to hold things up a bit. But the owners didn't complain too much. I mean, there was always another eager mother to take her place, and the hods were well nigh indestructible.
Why are you telling me all this?
I don't know. To explain myself to you, I suppose. To try to. Because I've got my scars to see, and all this, the way things look, don't make a heap of difference. There's no inch-deep weal across my forehead. Nothing as simple. Because by the time I was old enough to start, things had improved. The kids were still down in the dark, but the rope ladder had gone. And most of the mothers were dying either in childbirth or from malnutrition. We'd come a long way. But the scar's there, all right. Still there. And if you think all your faldy-dar Christian socialism and love thy neighbor bit means damn all to me, lad, you got another... Damn all, I say. Damn all.
I'd better call them.
Not yet. Not yet. Something for you to do.
Sympathy.
Thank you.
Sympathy.
Thank you.
Condolences.
Thank you.
Condolences.
Thank you.
Sympathy and condolences.
Thank you.
Sympathy and condolences.
Thank you. Very much.
Yes, a single to Redding, please.
What?
A single to...
Wait a minute. Now then, what was it you was wanting?
I'm sorry, I'm sure. Well, it is Mr. Roberts, isn't it?
Yes.
Mr. Yestin Roberts, son of Mr. Mostyn Roberts?
Yes.
Of course.
I was wondering...
Oh, I'm very sorry to hear, I'm sure. I'm sure we all were. Still in the midst of, as the saying goes.
Thank you.
Fine man, your father. Fine.
I was wondering...
Not that I really knew the gentleman, of course. Well, not really to say that I knew him, if you see what I mean. But a bit of respect costs nothing. That's what I always say. I always say that.
My ticket.
What? Oh, aye. Oh, ticket. Yes. It was Redding, you said?
Yes.
Return, of course.
No, just the one way.
Ah, just that... One way to Redding?
The waiting room is open, is it?
Waiting room? Oh, yes, sir. Not any fire there, though. Not much call, you see. Still, you've got a bit of time to kill, too, so seeing as how you're still in your anguish and all, and but dead against the rules, of course, why don't you come in?
The waiting room will be fine.
Yes, sir. Yeah, thank you, sir. Very bloody much, sir.
Heaven help poor sailors on a night like this.
Dr. Marsh, making your rounds?
Just passing, boy, just passing. On the other hand, and for what it's worth, if you don't shift out of that draft, you'll have me thinking we might have fixed up two funerals for the price of one.
I've tried everywhere else.
And?
Heads they win.
Tails you lose. Tell you what, you've still got a fair bit of time before the downline's answer to the Flying Scot roars in. Why don't we pop across to the railway tavern
and give the locals the pleasure of seeing a principal mourner knocking it back before the turf had time to settle?
Probably right. Oh, well, just have to make do with a bit of do-it-yourself. Mm-hmm. Now, should be a flask here somewhere. Eureka! Drop of the old local anaesthetic.
No thanks.
Sip up, boy. You can write it off as doctor's orders.
Thanks.
Perfect graveside comforter. No respectable mourner would be found dead without it. Trick is not to get too near the edge. Remember once it... Still, it's another story. Now, move up a bit then.
Yes.
It went well.
Oh, yes.
Yes, yes. Very well.
Like you say.
We missed you. At the graveside.
I left, right after the service. I never did go much for the earth-scattering bit. Makes such an obscene clatter, don't you think? Then, of course, it's probably meant to.
Mm.
took it for granted I'd see you back at the house.
Plate of ham, pineapple chunks, and who gets the grandfather clock? No, not much in my line either.
The point taken. Never fails to amaze me how quickly the prayers for the dead are replaced by the demands of the living. A house of sorrow to Ali Baba's cave in the twinkling of a gravedigger's shovel. Still, I...
You were about to say?
Well, only that I should have thought in this case...
This case? What particular case is that?
You were the only male heir.
Oh, the give and bequeath bit. Long faces, port wine, and crossed fingers under the plush tablecloth,
It was quite a bit in the kitty.
And me without a card in my hand. Come off you, Doctor. You've got to be joking.
Have I?
But, oh, you of all people should have known how he felt on that score.
I know how he used to feel.
What?
Change of heart, perhaps? Why not?
Because he had no heart, that's why not. The only thing that kept him going this long was the idea that by kicking the bucket, he might be doing somebody else a favor. Oh, look, I'm not griping. I think the girls deserve every penny they get.
They hoped you'd see it like that.
Hoped? But, well, they must have known they were coming into everything. I mean, it was all signed and sealed.
Oh, it was.
Oh? What's that supposed to mean?
You were with him alone.
So?
For a long time.
So?
So, let's face it, he was more than capable of producing a joker from up his sleeve right till the very last minute.
Another will.
Revoking everything that had gone before.
And just the thing to set the angels laughing.
Exactly. Well?
Like you say, he was capable.
On top of which there was the little matter of the bureau.
Bureau?
Mostyn's bureau, his private bureau. So private, in fact, he even had it moved into the bedroom so that he could keep an eye on it. It was as much as anybody dared to put a duster on it. The keys never left him. Not even during his illness. Always locked. Which is exactly the way it was when I left you together. Your move.
Stupid of me. I should have returned the key before calling. I suppose I was still hoping you hadn't noticed.
Whatever gave you the impression I had?
You mean... Your talents are wasted, Doctor.
We try.
All right, there was something. Just before the end, something he wanted me to take care of. Oh, not what you're thinking, no revoking, no last-minute upsets about where the lolly was going, so you could have saved yourself the trouble.
You did say there was something.
The other half, I suppose you might call it. You got the will. I got the testament bit.
Testament?
Isn't that what they call it? The bit that happens after all the worldly goods have been disposed of. Sort of declaration of intent. They used to go in for it quite a bit in the old days, along with the deathbed blessing, or curse, as the case may be. It's just out of interest I looked it up. Testament. A statement of proof or confirmation. That's what it said. And that's just about what it amounted to.
Confirmation? Of what?
Of what I'd known him for right from the start. The real Mostyn. The thing that lurked behind the facade of respectability, the sham, the trappings, all there in his own fair hand. Black on white. The skullduggery, the crookery, the double dealings, the things that really made him tick. More than a testament. A regular book of revelations. Names, dates, places, people he'd conned, people he'd persuaded, people who'd simply jumped the same bandwagon because of what they could get out of it.
But why would he want to...
Tell me, of all people? Oh, not the confession is good for the soul routine, if that's what you're thinking. But it's not too difficult to understand, is it? The ship is sinking, so at least let's seal the portholes so the rats can't escape. Well, somebody had to inherit the job. Who better? He probably saw me as some latter-day Pied Piper, only too happy to tootle the flute he'd so thoughtfully put at my disposal. A gigantic purge to rid the community of vermin. So tootle your flute, Piper, and sweep the hypocrisy and cant right back into the sewer where it belongs. All courtesy of Councillor Mostyn William Roberts, OBE.
But isn't that what you've always wanted?
I'd always thought so. It was certainly what he gambled on. It was certainly why I left.
And now?
I don't know. Maybe I've changed. Or maybe the lamb cried in the wilderness so long it lost its voice. Or maybe.
Yes.
Maybe confirmation, when it comes, turns out to be just the teeniest, weeniest bit of an anticlimax.
Where is this document now?
Ah, you needn't look so anxious, Doctor. No delayed revelations, not even the odd spot of blackmail on the side.
Where?
He still has it.
I don't follow what you mean.
I gave it back. Just before they screwed the lid down. A final moment of parting. What could be simpler? Besides, he was always a great one for carrying his credentials. It's funny to think of all those pole-faced bigwigs at the graveside with a veritable Vesuvius under their feet. give me a hand with the cases, will you?
Should be opening the new hospital wing in a couple of weeks.
So you were saying?
There's to be a bust. In the entrance hall.
Ah, he'd have liked that.
Not much like him. The fact is, they farmed it out to some relative of one of the governors. Nephew, I think. Too much hair. A sort of cross between Lloyd George and Dr. Schweitzer.
He'd have liked that even better.
Yes, then. What shall I tell Cass?
You'll think of something. Besides, do you honestly think it would make any difference?
Prior to the unveiling, the minister referred to the deceased as not only a man of generosity and vision, but a shining light whose untimely passing made the community he'd loved a darker place in which to live. Among those present at the ceremony were Councillor and Mrs. J.R. Davis, Councillor and Mr.
A darker place in which to live.
Did you say something, Cass?
No, just thinking.
Councillor and Mrs. T. Lewis, Councillor and Mrs. Petra Hearn, Councillor and Mrs. W. S. Jones, Chairman of the Board of Governors, H. P. Wilkins and Mrs. Wilkins, Chairman of the Finance Committee, P. R. Roberts, Chairman of the Mostyn Roberts Appeal Fund, Mrs. W. O. Abrams, Secretary of the Mostyn Roberts Appeal Fund.
Keep us bits of shine with a clear pure light, like a little candle burning in the night. In this world of darkness, we must shine, you in your small corner.
That was Stranger at the Gate by William Ingram. Dr. Marsh was played by Windsor Davis. Mostyn Roberts by Meredith Edwards. His daughters, Sarah and Cass, by Christine Pollan and Elizabeth Morgan. And his son, Yestin, by William Ingram. Production was by Betty Davis.